I answer that? I don't know whether. I mean, it's you're right, but the authority to change that situation. I should actually repeat the question. Sorry for those of you that didn't hear the question. And if I'm wrong, please tell me. The question was about that the television, cinema, and television was a far more expanding medium that moved very quickly into all cultures of the world, into say into developing cultures also. That these technologies developed much faster, and now with the internet, this is much slower, and this is much much more. That it's more those people that can afford it, that have it, are more privileged. Those are the ones that don't have it. That's the question, I think. And why is that, and what will happen? I think one answer to that is that it's really in the power of governments to keep control of technology in their own government, within their own cultures and countries. For example, in India, India has one of the best countries for computer programmers. They're very, very good computer programmers in India. But if we were to really understand what it would mean to give aid, to give support to India to develop their computer industry, they would probably, because they develop such good software, they could probably overtake some of the Western countries that develop software. So obviously you're dealing, and that's why, okay, no one, the governments wouldn't want to give India a huge infrastructure of technology, because they will then overtake the more dominant Western countries that make the technology at the moment. So it is difficult to change these things, because these are very, very often, they are coming from more government-based infrastructures than, say, television or film came from. So that's always the struggle, always the point you will come to. But it's more of a reason of why creative people should or experimental people should use these systems to actually exploit the areas that the people who are in control of the systems will don't know about. Yeah. It's better when, I mean, that's why it's also another interesting reason to use it, not that it's, like I was saying earlier on about being interesting or fun.
I don't want to, how do you call that? Sorry, I'm looking for a word. I don't want to bring things down that as if they're not important, but generalize, yeah. But I think there's also quite an interesting progressive potential in all this internet and global village thing. If you consider that the people will be, and I think a lot of people are already, even in Africa or South America, they are somehow attached to this. I hear it now and then from people who are interested in that, and they say they found a connection here and there. But I don't think this is like a very highly developed everywhere, but the potential it does offer is interesting in the sense of participating in what's going on. If it is no more so exclusive like it is now, this sort of intellectual chat on the internet or whatever, for people who can't afford to go somewhere, and they can join in with work and everything from there as well, and so on. And also if you think of handicapped people as well, and new media, this is a very interesting topic. People who, deaf people also, how they can work and share things. They can use all these tools for now. And I don't know. I think it can also have the effect to bring people together a bit more in this very society-like structure or global society, which I think it is somehow. I my email is for me a different thing than a normal letter. It's not better or worse, but it's more like I feel all the time somebody is talking very direct and very fast to me from the other end of the world. And I think it has this emotional effect of, it's like Marshall McLuhan said that it's actually not anymore about text because you forget that you write. It's like you speak into this channel, shouting out for somebody using your keyboard because you get a direct answer. It's more like telephoning, really.
I was just going to say that just in this last few questions is sort of somewhat fairly clearly demonstrates the different uses that the media is put to by artists. And just as before, where there were many different kinds of art, so it is now with this media, so that you can have people that are concerned with emotions or sensory expectations or ways of expression, like you were talking about, the comedic kind of effects, but also I've looked at CD-ROMs that were extremely tragic and can evoke other kinds of emotions. But then there are others, there are quite a few of us here that are interested in the political aspects of the internet and the possibilities of empowerment, and who see art as an agent for change rather than an expression, a personal expression. So that media then can be well exploited, that aim can be well exploited by this medium, the new media.
I kind of see change through expression anyway. I wouldn't say it as.
Yeah. So there again is another like crossing of. It's also complex. It depends entirely on the artist. I mean, we are so different, individual people. I don't think that you can simply say, well, who is using the media, what artists are using it, and why. It's not that easy. It's just so complex. As with any other media, that was just the point.
No, I just wanted to say that for me it's not this substitute discussion, actually. I don't think, I'm not talking about replacement. CD-ROM will replace the film, it's just a bit bad at the moment, visually also. I don't think that, or this is a discussion which sometimes comes with the whole developments, and it's a wrong discussion to say one day we will have only virtual actors and no real actors anymore and things like that, things to frighten and speed up the whole thing. There have to be made distinctions between what is robot research or the virtual brain and this and that, what's a virtual actor and a real actor. It can't all be in one pot and be biological and scientific and artistic and film and so on. Because it's all media, that's wrong, I think. It's different ways of expression, and something like the film is just 100 years old now, which is nothing if you look close at it. And I think it's about, what's interesting is the exchange between all these things and how you can learn from it, or how something gets a structure being influenced by something else, like for instance the 12 Monkeys film. I don't know whether you saw it with Bruce Willis, but that was a CD-ROM basically, being based in the past, and he always goes out to solve a problem, coming back, getting his new thing, coming, and it was all around one center, going there and coming back. That was what I called this linear thing before, linear interactive way to a certain extent. But if you take it apart, you can really put it on a CD-ROM very well. He gets his new commandments and...
Sorry, I have a kind of question.
Yeah.
I have to come back to that question that was raised about the notion of talking about artworks or individuals as the point of discussion. Or you talk about the more of the mass cultural difference and change. I think probably more and more artists will disappear. I kind of support that anyway. I mean, it's we got to a point where being a famous gallery artist is somehow kind of prehistoric in a way. And it needs to be looked at in far more networks, so kind of more of a global context on the whole thing of activity, of participation, of interaction, of users, of viewers, artists becoming the same thing. And the network will certainly produce that, I think. I mean, even once we're beyond the kind of problems of World Wide Web, and that's already over, then I think we'll start things will start to change, and the notions of artists or authors is certainly is over. Yeah. But even the exhibition, the media art exhibition of media artists in Lyon in the Biennale last year. It was a point where they were in Lyon. They wanted to make this exhibition to talk about the history of media. Being in Lyon, it was referring to cinema, of course, and the beginnings of cinema. But what it also did was it categorized media art and therefore its own death. I think it suddenly put all this stuff into made it into, okay, now we have a genre, and now it's over. Curatorial decision on art, putting it all together and saying, okay, if you use a television, it's already over. And I think it probably is. I don't think there will be many more media exhibitions or media art exhibitions, or there won't be many more media artists, individuals. We'd have to start looking far more in terms of collaborative events, happenings. It's a pretty old word now, but to start to reconsider that a bit more. In terms of telecommunications, it's far more the richer and conducive area.
I wanted that you explain a little bit when you said virtual consciousness. I mean, that has been hovering over this, but if you could define maybe a little bit.
I didn't come to that point, really, because with all the videos I showed and so on, I didn't really, this is left for tomorrow to a certain extent. Virtual consciousness for me is the perception of these media surroundings, of these virtual spaces, as true as possible, question sign, as a question, because I don't think you go in and you think it's true or so. And this comes back to these other steps. So virtual consciousness, for instance, in a cyberspace, like you have seen it with the cables, the data suit, or normally with this headset and the glove, is trying to provoke a certain evoke a virtual consciousness, but you're somehow limited because of all the technology and the computer generated figures inside, or this whole surrounding and yourself being brought back in as a little animation and seeing yourself move, whatever. And so the virtual consciousness is something which is far more advanced and developed in these networking spaces, I think, where it has to do with your personality being in a virtual surrounding. So if you have the telematic things we have a look at tomorrow, it's a contact which is based on a social exchange between people. They're on both sides and they meet in this virtual space. You will see all this, so it doesn't matter if it sounds now, but complicated. And
perhaps the difficulty is with the word virtual as in consciousness. If you start to talk about consciousness in terms of not that it's virtual, but it's out of body, or it's in another.
Yeah, to be conscious of the virtual space as a real space, to experience as if you're there. That's, I think, is the point. It comes back to this confusion and affection I mentioned when you enter such a new media space. it's the same. You can also have a, you can virtual conscious feel yourself in a film. You know, if there's the saying, the best film was when the best Western was when you come out and with your crossed legs out of a Western, because you really feel into it. You know, if you come out of a cinema and the world has stopped and you're like, huh, I want to be his or her or be there or things like that. And the question is, how far can this happen in a virtual space? And I say it happens the more contact you have with non-artificial things in the surrounding. And this is more down to networking, I think. This is like in these playgrounds where you have to be somebody and be under this pressure of talking to people. And this is also in the telematic world, where the virtuality is this out of your body experience. You see yourself acting with other people on a screen or in a monitor, and it makes consciousness is about feeling present in this space, and it's a different presence to tap around in an interactive story and trying to get together different opinions, and it's different from a cyberspace, from a VR virtual reality where it's all computer generated, and it's different from a networking surrounding where it's you being inside, as long as you decide to be yourself or take another identity, whatever, which has more this acting virtual stage effect.
So what it comes down to is actually simulating consciousness.
Yeah, from the side of the media environment, yes. From your side of how you feel, it can well be you're more in there in the screen than you are watching a film, because a film is simulating involvement. But the question is a telematic installation something we have to really ask after we've seen the works? Is a telematic installation going further simulating consciousness? Is it giving consciousness? And it's just, I don't want to talk a lot about this because this is a very important part of the telematic works. So this question will definitely come up there again.
We'll talk a lot about consciousness. I'm not so sure I talk about virtual consciousness, but I will talk about consciousness, whether that's in this body or in some other body.
Which is the same. I think yes. That's not so big different.
Yeah. Yes, I think so. Unless there are any more questions.